The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Well, hi, folks, and welcome back to another Sunday morning teaching from Epiclesis, an ancient future faith church in Sacramento, California. On this particular Sunday, our associate pastor, Dr. Rick Ashe, was preaching. The title was We, You, They, and he was taking a look at a text from 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter. What spiritual actions can dramatically change the landscape of a relationship? Well, join us as we discover Paul's outward, upward, and inward actions and the foundation they are built on. The Lord be with you. Now, here's Pastor Rick.
All right, church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. I'm going to be working through the New Living Translation, so if you have that in hard copy or if you have technology that you're working out of, you can follow along using New Living Translation or whatever you've got, but that's where I'm going to be. This morning, we're going to be looking at three different things. This is Paul's introduction to the church at Thessalonica, and he makes some really interesting statements. You're going to hear in these 10 verses, we, you, and they. And each one of those has kind of a unique action oriented with them. We is this outward. You're going to see kind of this outward action happening. Oh, by the way, before I forget, there are some sermon notes, white piece of paper. Mine's all scribbled up now, but it looks like this. If you didn't get one, Caitlin, do you still have those, that stack, or did we get them out? Oh, they're outside. Does anybody need notes? Okay, could you? Yeah, thank you so much. So there are some notes for today because, oftentimes there's like a one idea or there's, maybe two or three action points. Today there's actually quite a few, and I felt like notes might be good for us to be able to follow along. So we, you, and they. The we you're going to see is this are these outward actions. You're going to see these things going on there. The you are upward. This might be familiar to us, and the they is inward. These are different things that Paul is communicating to the Thessalonians. So let me set up some context here for us, because this is the introduction to the letter to the church at Thessalonica. But in Acts chapter 17, you don't have to turn there, but in Acts chapter 17, tells us a little bit about Thessalonica and Paul's ministry mission to the people there. And it says something like this. As was Paul's custom, he went into Thessalonica and he went into the synagogue. And for 3 weeks in a row on Sabbath, he taught. And he shared from the scriptures and he explained the prophecies and he interpreted to the people that Jesus is the Messiah. And then it says this really interesting thing, at least in the New Living Translation. It says, some of the Jews followed Jesus. Many of the God-fearing Gentiles also followed Jesus. And then it says something like, and a good number of the women of authority in the town also followed Jesus. Is it this really interesting little thing? And we're not going to get stuck there. But it was just interesting that they noted that of the three groups of people there, that the God-fearing Gentiles responded the most of them. But it was always Paul's purpose to go to the Jew first. It was always his purpose to teach from the scriptures. And the prominent is a prominent women. That was the word I'm looking for. And these prominent women responded. And if you look at different interpretations, it links them essentially to like officials. Their husbands were officials or wealthy businessmen in the community. And so the church at Thessalonica got a good start. They responded quickly and well, and there was a lot of people that had some weight and authority in that community. And so this morning, what we're going to look at is this idea of the foundations of our faith action. If you see in your notes, it says start here. So that's where we're going to start. In verse 1 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. And what I'm hoping this morning is that if you're taking notes, great. And if you're listening, if you're just wanting to listen along, that's fine too. You don't have to take notes. But you're going to get a lot of different things that Paul, action items that Paul is calling the church to, is sharing about who and how he is responding. And then this greater community is really fascinating. So let's get started here. Verse 1, it says, "This is the letter from Paul and Silas and Timothy. We are writing to the church at Thessalonica, to you who belong to God and the Lord Jesus Christ. May God give you grace and peace." So I said, start here. Because everything that comes after this has to be rooted in two very powerful little statements that he makes in this very first verse of this letter, this very first part here. So if you're taking notes, the first one is, you belong to God. That's the first thing that Paul wants the Thessalonians to capture, is you belong to God. Turn to somebody next to you, look them in the eye again, and say, you belong to God. Do you believe that? You belong to God. You belong to God. How? Well, let's break it down in a couple of different levels. First off, if we acknowledge, and rightfully so, that God is creator, then we are his creation. And by the simple structure of that, we belong to God. We are his. He made us. He created us. In the same way that we have genetic DNA that we pass to our children, they belong to us. God's spiritual DNA is in you and I. So at sort of, it's not generic, but just at the kind of the fundamental level of this thing, all of creation belongs to God. But he's wanting them to catch something a little deeper than that. Is that not just because he's creator, do they belong? Do you and I belong to God? But because of what Jesus Christ did for them, you belong, because it was the joy, it was Jesus' desire to do for us what we could not do for ourselves, to make that ultimate sacrifice so that sin has no captivity over us any longer. And so what he is telling the Thessalonians is that this belonging is deep and deep and deep in their reality. So number one for us this morning, foundationally as we get into the rest of this, is that you belong to God. And then the second one is that God gives you grace and peace. I don't know about you. I don't know about how your morning started. Let me ask you guys a question. Are you a cattywampus or a cockywampus family? How many of you guys are cattywampus? I was walking through Winco with my wife yesterday, and she said, "Well, that's cockywampus." And I'm like, "No, it's cattywampus." Is there any cockywampus people in here? I'm just curious. Excellent. I will take that home today. I'm going to use that. Thank you guys. That's great. So anyways, no, her whole family, they grew up saying cockywampus. It's like, "No, it's cattywampus." You know, anyways, we're going back and forth in the bread aisle at Winco of all, you know. Anyways, but here's the thing. Your day might have started out cattywampus or cockywampus. Either way, it doesn't matter, right? Today may have been crazy. Today was crazy for me. My day started out with me in my office kind of prepping for this morning, and my wife comes barreling down, my dog, my dopey Doberman's like, oh, blah, 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 down the stairs. My wife comes down, she comes into my office holding her phone, and she goes, "My phone's been hacked." And I'm like, "Ah!" You know, and then she's got to go to work, and so she's like fiddling with that and trying to figure that stuff out. And then on top of that, she's like, "Oh, and I also need you to check me in for my flight tomorrow." And I'm like, I got this other stuff, you know. And so in the midst of all of that, I went to print out this morning stuff and got here and found out that page one of my sermon notes didn't print. So I'm sitting here like flipping through like over and over like, you know, so I had to handwrite this stuff out. That was my morning. I don't know how your morning was. But here's the point. In the midst of the craziness of life, It's God who gives, not you who has to manufacture and create. It's God who gives to you and I grace and peace. He's giving it to us. And so this morning, as I'm trying to get myself oriented, and Ellen and I, we prayed. And that was where it changed for me. My heart was up here, like, and my brain was going crazy. And then Ellen was like, let's pray for this morning. And as we started to pray, it all started to settle back down as I was reminding myself of the realities. Then in the midst of the chaos and the craziness, in the midst of all the, oh my gosh, what's going on? No, that even in that place, and we see this all over Scripture, by the way, even in that place, you and I can experience grace and peace. That's one of those unseen, invisible mysteries that we talk about. So that's our foundation this morning. You belong to God because of what Jesus Christ has done for you on the cross. If you have received that into your life, and you belong to God because He created you, fearfully and wonderfully made, with a desire to be connected to Him. So with that as our structure for this morning, our foundation, let's move into this stuff, this we, you, they. In verse number 2, filling out the notes, we bless others. Outward action. We bless others. Listen to these words. This is what Paul's saying. We always thank God for all of you and pray for you constantly as we pray to our God and Father about you. We think of your faithful work, of your loving deeds, and the enduring hope that you have because of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know, dear brothers and sisters, that God loves you and has chosen you to be His own people. For when we brought you the good news, it was not only with words, but also with power. For the Holy Spirit gave you full assurance that what we said was true. And you know of our concern for you from the way we lived when we were with you. So there's three we outward actions that I want to point out to you this morning. The first one is, and this is Paul speaking, we always thank God for you, if you want to fill that blank in. We always thank God for you. We always thank God for you. Life gets hard. Relationships get hard. And yet Paul is, based on our foundation, Paul is saying one of the things that we do outwardly for others is we thank God for them, even when it's hard, even when it's challenging. The second thing that he says here is that we pray for you constantly. That's that second fill in the blank. We pray for you constantly. I have, with technology nowadays, it's not easy, but technology can help us. I set alerts. I have 4 major alerts that run 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 5 p.m. And 2 are these prayers that I pray about honoring God with my life and serving those that He has called me to serve. It's this prayer. It's actually a prayer from King Solomon. And then the second one, I pray for my wife. I pray for our marriage. I pray for our future, our direction. And then the third in the day, I pray for my kids. And then I finish up again, circling back around with this prayer that, you know, basically, Lord, let me worship and honor you with my life and serve those you put me here to serve. Praying, that's just one example. But this idea that Paul is talking about here, we're praying for you constantly. You're on our minds. We're lifting you up in prayer. We always thank God for you. We pray for you constantly. And then the third one, we remind ourselves of your faithfulness, of your love, of your enduring life. Why does he say that? Well, because if you've ever been in a relationship before, you know that there are times where things get difficult. And we often need to remind ourselves in the midst of the challenging moments of all of the good and the blessing and all of the where this person has come from and grown and changed in their lives. Oftentimes, we get so tunnel focused on this moment right here, and I just want you to, you just need to just grow up. And then what we miss is the reality of all that God has been in process doing in their lives. And so Paul is talking to the Thessalonians here, and he's saying, guys, we are constantly thankful for you. And you'll see part of the reason why a little bit later. We're constantly thankful for you and thanking God for you, praying for you guys, lifting you up constantly, and reminding ourselves that even if the relationship gets challenging, we're reminding ourselves of all the good things that God has done in your life and is doing in your life and desires to do in the future in your life. So we bless others. That's what Paul is saying. Thessalonians, we bless you in these three ways. And we keep moving forward together here into verse 6. And this is the you respond. Paul talks about what he's doing, what Silas is doing, what Timothy is doing. Now he's talking directly to them. You respond. This is this upward action. We know this. This is familiar language to us here. This idea of responding after we hear from God's word, that we respond to him at his table. This idea of responding, that God moves first, that God has done the primary work, and that we are simply recognizing, acknowledging, and leaning into that and living that out in our lives. So listen to this. This is what Paul says. So you receive the message with joy from the Holy Spirit, despite the severe suffering it brought you. In this way, you imitated both us and the Lord. As a result, you have become an example to all believers in Greece throughout both Macedonia and Achaia. So we bless others, and then you respond. Three different ways. One, you receive the message with joy. That's the first one you can write in there. He's identifying, guys, the Thessalonians, they received the good news of Jesus Christ with joy. I don't know about you, but I can think back to when I was young and was first introduced to this guy Jesus, and first introduced to this amazing life, this forgiveness, this grace, this hope that he has for me. And there's a lot of joy there. It's kind of like my dog, Daisy. We have two dogs. Daisy's our border collie. She has a ritual when it comes to food time. And what she does is we prepare both for Freya, our Dobie, and for Daisy. We prepare their meals, and they're on the counter, and she's just waiting and waiting and waiting. And when she can't handle it any longer, we have one of those little that was easy buttons, but Jess programmed it to say food. And she'll run over and she'll hit it, bang, food. And then she'll look at us and just wait. And okay, and then I'll bring her food over, you know, and we'll feed them at the same time, and she will just hork it down, you know, as fast as she can, and not even take a breath. It's amazing, really. It's kind of terrifying. I mean, she's just, and you know, Freya's over here kind of just working her way through it, and she will get done, and then she'll lick her bowl. I don't know if your dog does that all the way around, and inside every little crack, make sure there's nothing, check the bottom, okay, we're good, and then what she does is she goes over, and she stands right next to Freya. She doesn't bully her out of the way while Freya's eating her food. She just stands there and just stares at her bowl and waits and waits and waits until finally Freya's like, okay, I'm done, and walks away. And then she immediately goes in, and this is gross to me, but it's just dog, and just licks the bowl and just licks her bowl, any little tidbits in there, anywhere. She has so much joy for her food. She's so excited, not just about her food, but about the opportunity for more than that that may be left over here for her. I kind of think about that with Paul here, this idea of you respond to the message with joy. Is that, yeah, we respond initially and in the early time, you know, with this joy, but are we still responding with joy now? Are you and I still, when we show up on Sunday morning, have we gotten stuck in a rote rhythm of just working our way through our liturgy and listening to a message? Or are we responding in joy? Because if we're not responding in joy, we don't have strength in our walk with the Lord. Because it's the joy of the Lord that is our strength. And if we're not attaching ourselves to that, it's not just that we're missing out, but that we are leaving here weak. And the scripture warns us about being weak when we go out there amongst the wolves. So you receive the message with joy. The second thing, you imitate both us and the Lord. Does anybody imitate you in your walk with the Lord? This was the first time this week where this really kind of profoundly hit me, that Paul steps up to the responsibility as Paul is imitating Christ. And he's saying, now you imitate, you follow me. As I'm following Jesus, you follow me. You follow after what I do. And it never really hit me, just the weight of responsibility and ownership that must have cost a guy like Paul to say that I am walking with the Lord, and not an arrogant thing of like, hey, you know, like I'm cool, so follow me, but literally saying like I am securely rooted in my hope and faith in Jesus, and I want you to experience that too. So follow after me, do what I'm doing, because I have confidence that this is the pathway. This is how we connect with and build this relationship with Christ. And then the third thing is that he says, you become an example to all believers. So not only is it that Paul is imitating Jesus and that the Thessalonians are imitating Paul as Paul imitates Jesus, but now other people are imitating the Thessalonians who are imitating Paul, who's imitating Jesus. Do you know what we call that in Christianity? Discipleship. That's discipleship. It's interesting. There's a kind of a story about a rabbi. And one of the things that a rabbi's disciples, called Talmudin, what they would literally mimic whatever it is that their rabbi is doing. So you would oftentimes see, as a rabbi is moving from here to there, like little ducklings, the Talmudin are just following along. And whatever the rabbi does, when the rabbi has a meal, then they eat their meal. And whatever the prayer is, then they're imitating. And if the rabbi says something weird, they're like, okay. You know, because they have chosen that this is the way, this is the right truth, this is the discipleship pattern and pathway that is going to connect us to the Lord. Is somebody imitating you? Is somebody following your example? We bless others, you respond. And then the third one here, they get inspired. They get inspired. That's the fill in the blank. And this is the inward action. And this is interesting. So listen to this. This is verse 8. And now the word of the Lord is ringing out from you to people everywhere, even beyond Macedonia and Achaia. For wherever we go, we find people telling us about your faith in God. We don't need to tell them about it. For they keep talking about the wonderful welcome that you gave to us and how you turned away from idols to serve the living and true God. And they speak of how you are looking forward to the coming of God's Son from heaven, Jesus, whom God raised from the dead. He is the one who has rescued us from the terrors of the coming judgment. So again, there are three things I want to point out here. They get inspired. When we bless others and you respond, they get inspired. The first one, They got inspired by your hospitality. You could also write in generosity if you want. They got inspired by your hospitality, by the way that the Thessalonians treated Paul and Silas and Timothy as they were on their missionary trips all over the place and beyond Macedonia and Achaia. People were talking about how amazingly generous and hospitable the Thessalonians were. We are coming into a time of the year that I absolutely love. And although we mark it a little differently within the Christian year than sort of the Roman, Julian, generic year around us that everybody followed, which, by the way, they already took all the Halloween stuff down. It's all Christmas now. It's like, poor Thanksgiving. But anyways, the world around us sees this time frame from like Halloween, which kind of marks, you know, for the generic world around us, like the beginning of fall, and carries all the way through till Christmas. What a powerful opportunity we have to express hospitality and generosity to those around us. I don't care if you do or don't celebrate Halloween, if you do or don't hand out candy at Halloween. That's fine. My family does. Why? Because my whole street is a bunch of little kids with a bunch of families that are in their sort of mid-30s, and they're trying to figure out life right now. And so we have fun doing that. We, you know, fire pit, and we just sit out in the front yard and talk to people and you know, tell their kids how awesome they're, you know. If you don't want to be a part of like the Halloween thing, that's fine. But there are so many opportunities for us to be hospitable to the people around us during this time of the year. There are so many opportunities for us to be generous to the people around us and to root that and link that to the person and work of Jesus Christ. You know, not just candy for candy's sake, but like I'm trying to build relationships with my neighbors. You know, I'm trying to meet them where they are at and call them into something deeper. It's kind of cool. So the first one, the hospitality of the Thessalonians blew the minds of everybody in the region. The second one, people were inspired by the fact that the Thessalonians turned away from idols. That's a big, big deal. Now, it does not specify here whether it was the Gentiles that turned away from idols or whether it was also the Jews that turned away from idols. It just says that you guys, talking to the church, that part of your stepping into learning and growing in Jesus was the rejection of idols. Now, for them, it's a little easier, ironically, than us, because it was a wooden statue. And you just pick the wooden statue up and pew, and I don't worship that anymore. It's over. Idols in our world are a lot more sneaky and devious. And this is a challenging one for us, is that when you came to hope and faith in Jesus Christ, whatever your age was, I remember some very specific idols in my life. I was young, you know, that I turned away from, right? Whether you were young or whether you were, more mature, more, you know, older in your life, there were things that we were called to turn away from in that immediate phase. But guys, there are idols all around us every single day, speaking our name, whispering in our ear. And this idea, I think, is kind of, there's a continuousness to this. And we have to be careful of what things we allow into our life and what things we give weight to or authority to or responsibility in our life or hope to that is not Jesus Christ. So the turning away from idols was an inspiration to all the people in the area. I don't know. That's one I have to think about in my life. You know, Lord, is there an idol I've got I don't even realize right now I'm messing around with? The third one. People got inspired by the fact that the Thessalonian church was looking forward to the coming of Jesus Christ. That they were really excited about that reality and that they were sharing that with people, that they were communicating to people, there is a horrible judgment to come And it is Jesus who has already taken care of and enabled you to be removed from that pathway of judgment and placed, qualified as one of God's own. People get inspired when you and I do the hard work of following Jesus, of dying to ourselves, of living for Him. You belong to God. God gives you grace and peace. We always thank God for you. We pray for you constantly. We remind ourselves of your faithful, loving, encouraging life. You receive the message with joy. You imitated both us and the Lord. You became an example to all believers. Your hospitality and your generosity were overwhelming. You turned away from idols and turned to Jesus. You look forward to the coming of Jesus Christ and the hope that we have in that. Gentlemen, let me talk to you for just 1 minute. What if we took these 11 things that Paul shares in these first 10 verses, just the first 10 verses, and we haven't even gotten to the meat of his letter yet, just the intro has got so much weight to it. What if you and I, guys, I'm talking to the men right now, took serious implementing these things into our lives? And you're like, well, Rick, I'm already. Okay, that's great. But what if we took serious the opportunity that we have to implement these things into our lives, all 11 of these things? What if we use this as a pattern to shape the relationships that we have in our life, whether we are or aren't married, whether our marriage is or isn't going well right now, whether we, if it's not going well, whether we're working on that, or whether that's a thing that we're hiding right now from people that we got to get over and we got to lean into this thing? Could you imagine if you took these things and said, I'm going to do this for my wife or my girlfriend or my kids or my grandkids or my neighbors or my boss or my coworker? You want to change the world? Your government's not going to do it. Your politicians are not going to do it. They are not going to save this world. They are not going to change this world, okay? We cannot put our hope and our faith in those things. Yes, we participate. Yes, we do our part. We are called to be responsible citizens. But if that's where our hope and faith is, we are finished. Okay? If we choose to do these kinds of things, if we choose to be these kinds of people, you will transform your relationships in your life. Not because Rick says it, but because Paul is pointing this out to the Thessalonians, who were just shaking the foundation. Everybody was talking about the Thessalonians in that region. These people were changing the paradigm of what it means to live life. Could you imagine, men, if you took between now and Christmas Day to do these things with your relationships? Could you imagine what Christmas Day would look like? How it might be different? How it might be transformed? Could you imagine if your kids came up to your wife and was like, what's going on with Dad? Like, he's different. Or your grandkids are noticing, like, why is Grandpa like, what is this? I'm not neglecting ladies. I'm not neglecting you at all. Because you lean in on this thing too. But oh my gosh, guys. If we are these kinds of people, if we live these kinds of actions in our lives, if we respond and we bless, and if we get inspired, that's the kind of world that those who are lost and blind and have no hope and live in darkness and don't think there's anything left for them, That's the kind of world. That's the kind of people out there. That's what they're looking for. They want that. They know it deep down in their soul. And you and I have the opportunity, maybe starting right now this morning. So, next steps. Why don't you take these notes and go home and think and pray about them? Why don't you talk to your spouse? If you're married, talk. Hey, where am I doing good? Where do I need to lean in or step up to? Did you know that a Christian couple who prays, I just heard this, is over 1,000 times less likely to end their marriage in divorce if they pray together out loud every day than the average Christian couple? It's just simple actions like these things right here radically transform our lives as we are. Now hear me. Doing these things isn't going to give you more gold stars with Jesus, right? Okay? Because he's the one who gives us the power. He's the one who through the power of the Holy Spirit, allows us to work these things out. But this is the life we've been called to as followers of Jesus. So take some next steps. Think about this week. Challenge yourself. How could things be different if I start living some of these things maybe that I'm not, or maybe I need to push them up to the next level in my life? Man, what life would look like come Christmas if we started living like the church in Thessalonica? Let's pray together. Father, we acknowledge that in and of ourselves we can't do this. We just know that. So we need you. And we know that you've already secured it for us through Jesus. And we know that the power of the Holy Spirit, which is the gift that you give to us, can enable us to do this. That you are our strength. That you are our joy. So Lord, help us to get inspired this week, today, as we move into the rest of this year to adopt into our lives some of these areas or push them up. Make them a higher priority in our lives. Thank you for your unmerited, unfailing, abundant love towards us and the grace and the mercy that you pour out. This, Lord, is not impossible in you. And we trust you for that. We ask, Lord, now that you move us into a time of responding to you, to all that you have done for us, and the life that you're calling us into as your people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an Ancient Future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about Ancient Future Faith or worship at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.